सोच विचार के साथ मेरा नाम नदीम उल हक है
और मेरा नाम अंजुम अल्ताफ है।
Okay, can I get you first up just to say for me your full name and your position title?
Nadeem Ul Haq. My position title right now is I'm retired from the IMF and from the Pakistan government, and now I'm just a consultant with the IMF working on East Africa.
Fantastic. And can you just explain for us initially as well what roles you had in relation to Pakistan, within the Pakistani government and then at the IMF?
Well, I was in the Pakistan government as the Minister for Planning, Economic Planning. I was there from 2010 to 2013. Before that, I was a president of a university in Pakistan. And before that, I've been in the IMF for about 30 years, working as an economist in many different areas and many different parts of the world.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously Pakistan has a long-standing problem with energy supply and supply not meeting demand. Can you explain for us in broad terms what the structural issues are and what the human impact of those issues have been?
Well, Pakistan basically has had an energy problem for the last about roughly 10 years. Prior to that, Pakistan was relatively energy self-sufficient through the first part of its history from 1947 till about 1990, primarily because we have a very nice river system and we were able to tap into it with a couple of very big dams, a couple of very large dams. So we got very good hydroelectric power at the beginning of our history and we did well on that. But then we squandered that opportunity because we never really developed an energy system. We kept a subsidy in place for too long. That led to further electricity shortages. Over time, we also were unable to exploit hydroelectric resources much more because of our own political difficulties. When you build a dam, you store up some water and then that water has to be shared because we never could work that system out. So we were not able to build more dams. We became more oil dependent over time. Then came, the World Bank with some advice that we should build more oil dependent energy, which we did with the private sector. But we offered them generous guarantees in terms of business models. We gave them a generous guarantee to generate energy for us. We did well for a while until the oil price shot up. When the guarantees began to hurt us because the oil price shot up and we had guaranteed them a considerable amount of profit on the existing tariff structure. At the same time, we could not increase the price for our domestic energy supply. That meant that we were going to subsidize the domestic energy supply by a large amount. The subsidy went up hugely by about 2006, 2007, something like that. Then we went into a fund program where the fund forced us to, the fund always puts conditions. So the IMF said that we must rationalize the energy price structure. It must reduce the subsidy. We did reduce the subsidy, but that meant jacking up prices at home, which we did. And the, people do have to bear a huge energy bill now. Right now, our energy prices are fairly expensive. But then, that is not the only problem. Our biggest problem is that we have an energy system that is now highly dependent on imported oil. But more importantly, we have an energy system that we are running using the old British colonial civil service system, where we are trying to run an energy system through bureaucratic means, not market means, where the energy companies are run by distant bureaucrats sitting in a distant place. And it is not very clear whether the energy supply or distribution companies have any clear financial constraints or any clear financial planning in their hands. At the same time, our pricing system is again kind of antiquated because we still have certain areas where we guarantee subsidies. We still have certain areas where we are trying to keep prices low. In certain areas, we are trying to keep prices high. So it's a confused pricing system, which means that the government is left with an energy bill, a subsidy bill. At the same time, because we are managing the system poorly, there is an issue of unpaid bills as well as stealing from the electricity system, which again is a byproduct of lacks financial control. So when you don't have good financial control, when you don't have a good pricing system, you are bound to have problems in the supply of energy. As well as the supply of energy becomes very costly, the government has to pay a bill. The government roughly pays about 500 billion rupees, which is $5 billion in financial losses, subsidies, all told. The leakage of the financial system, you can put it that way. We roughly pay $5 billion a year, which is a huge sum of money to pay for this bad system. A system that is in need of reform, and we don't do the reform. Now, let me look at the demand side a little. On the demand side, we have an energy dependent but wasteful economy. For example, we subsidize the car. By that, I mean, we try, just like the rest of the world, we build more and more roads to try and make us more and more car dependent. So, obviously, we are going to use a lot of gasoline, a lot of petrol. We also don't build energy efficiently. For example, insulation or energy efficient building materials are not easily available and they have large tariffs on them. But more importantly, our zoning laws only allow for single family homes. We do not want to build, somehow, due to historical reasons, we don't want to, you know, build flats and high rise buildings. We have sprawls in our cities, and those sprawls are hugely car dependent, and they are hugely inefficient because the sprawls are single family homes without energy supply, without insulation. So this again means that we are ending up demanding more energy than we should. With a poor supply system, it's bound to lead to more and more energy problems.
And so to what extent are the problems with, you know, just simply this reliance on oil, on oil imports? I mean, how do you go about fixing that? And it seems like there's a generational lag, you know, that there's just not the generational capacity in Pakistan. Is anyone trying to sort of encourage investment in domestic energy generation?
Well, the issue has been the government and the donors have been really, really very, very keen to increase the supply of energy. And we are increasing the supply very rapidly. I think we have put in a large amount of supply in the last 3 or 4 years, and we are ready to put in more. But my view is that putting in supply when the system is broken will mean more financial leakages and will therefore bring the system to halt again and again. Right now,
so there has to be more investment in the generational network, in the distribution network as well.
No, I think there has to be systemic reform. Let me put it to you this way. So even now, for example, we have roughly, depending, because we are our energy system is dependent on the hydraulic, the river system, we have roughly about 22,000 megawatts of electricity supply in the summer, 15 in the winter. We can roughly make do in this amount of energy because in the summers you need more for air conditioning, etc. In the winter, the air conditioning goes, so you need less. Now, we could roughly make the books balance if you could generate the total supply. We can't. Because of the financial losses and because the system is antiquated, because the system is not maintained, we roughly generate about 15 in the summer and about 9-10 in the winter. Right, so we cannot run our system at capacity because of the shortages and the financial issues as well as the management issues. And what we need is really configuring an energy system like the rest of the world, where you have a distributional system that relies on distributional units that are financially independent and in control of their financial issues, right? At the same time, the generational capacity should also be run by units that are in control of their own finances, that can control their own losses, that can control their own profits, etc. At the same time, we need a pricing system where there is some kind of a market mechanism, granted that the energy system is not always fully market determined, but that the better units are capable of getting more energy at the right price. At the same time, we must be able to distribute our electricity to the people at the right price and not at all kinds of prices that are fictional and that are dependent on regulation, because that leads to losses.
Right. And would some form of greater distributional integration with the Indian market and the Chinese market fix this problem? I know there's a lot of talk about the India-China-Pakistan economic corridor. I mean, how would that affect this landscape?
No, I think we are a big enough country. I mean, of course, openness is always helpful and we should be open. That's not a problem. I think we are a big enough country. We are a country of 200 million people. We are a very large country. We should be able to fix our own system, and we must have a domestic system in order. If our domestic system continues to suffer losses and continues to suffer leakages, you know, for example, if there's a lot of theft, if people don't pay their bills, if we integrate with the rest of the world, what is that going to do? The losses and the theft and the mismanagement will always be there. I think what we need is to manage our units better. Let me put it this way. For example, there is a DISCO. Let's say we take the city of Lahore, my hometown, which is a very large city, which is now, I think, roughly 13, 14 million people. So that's a very large city. Now, that has one distribution company called LESCO, right? Now, if LESCO could only operate in Lahore with its own balance sheet, with its own management, with its own financial control, so that it can upgrade its lines, so that it can upgrade its distribution system, so that it can upgrade its metering system, it can upgrade its collection system, then you might have a self-sufficient system in Lahore. But right now what's happening is this system is maintained from Islamabad. There's a central ministry that controls it. What do I mean by control it? That that central ministry appoints people here. That central ministry gives it cash, takes out cash from it on almost a daily basis. That ministry takes operating decisions from a distant place. I think that is a system that is inherently flawed. And that system has to change to allow well-managed units to operate within the system with some degree of financial control and be able to charge good prices and be able to collect good prices as well as maintain their own system. I think that's a system that needs to be configured. Let me just put it this way. It's a modern management system that needs to be built. We've got a 19th century management system that is managing electricity, and that will not do.
And can I ask you, at a human level, what is the price of this this dysfunction in the energy sector in Pakistan, and what are people at lower socioeconomic levels having to contend with because the system is so leaky and so inadequate?
Well, the cost is basically, as I told you, if the government is spending, let's say, roughly about, the way I estimated over the last 10 years, the government has spent roughly about 10 trillion rupees or something like that. I'm sorry, about 10 trillion rupees, which is roughly, what would it be, about $100 billion on energy, right? I mean, the government has spent a huge amount of money on energy to cover up the financial losses of the energy system. When you think about it, this is money that's just wasted, energy losses of the energy system that the government is covering. Right? That is that money is larger than the education budget of the country. So you can imagine, if you could save that money could go into education. And remember, Pakistan is a very poor country with roughly half its population under the age of 20. Now, we need to educate those kids if we want peace, prosperity, anything. If we don't, those kids are going to turn in directions that you and I would not like to see. Right? They'll turn to violence, they may even go to terrorism, whatever. The issue is this money should be saved. Now, on the other side, the price of energy has gone so high that an average household now finds it difficult to pay its bills. In the other direction, also people are suffering huge amount of energy shortages. There are places in Pakistan now where you don't get electricity for 12 hours. There are places, bigger cities, for example, you still have 4 or 5 hours of shortages every day. This means factories close down, shops close down. Obviously, it affects employment. So there's a huge amount of difficulty that people are facing. At the same time, modern technology has come in and that can help us. Pakistan is a tropical country. We could benefit from solar energy hugely. I think we've got a huge solar energy potential. Right. And all that requires, again, you can see it's a management problem. All it requires is a very simple metering system. That allows people to set up solar units on their roofs. and be able to sell the system to solar energy into the system and be able to buy it back when they need it. Now, you know, Australia has it. Every other country seems to have it. And this is not something that we need to do a lot of work on. We can actually buy the system very easily, put it up. Sure, it requires some management and some, you know, tending the system. Unfortunately, because we've got an outmoded 19th century management of the system, right, because we are not able to modernize the system, the management of the system, we can't set this up. We've talked about it for 5-6 years, maybe more, but we still have not been able to do it. Otherwise, the way I look at it is if every roof has solar energy, we could generate a lot of energy from there.
If I can take you to today's particular tragedy, I mean, obviously, the scramble from people to collect oil from this tanker increased the death toll today. Does that scenario, I mean, do you think, given this incredibly precarious situation around energy, that does that scenario surprise you?
Look, I mean, it's a tragedy, and that would have happened anyways. I don't think it's related to the energy situation, because, look, whenever something like this happens, people will come out, they will do something. I mean, in my country, for example, this population is so huge. If you have a car accident, you'll have a few thousand people come and surround you. It's very hard to get people out. So, yeah, I mean, I think that is a tragedy. The tanker was there, but it's not really something that I would relate to the energy situation. But the energy situation is a big, big issue in Pakistan. It's slowing down our growth by roughly 2% of GDP every year. Because of the shortages, it is consuming a large part of the budget, which means there's less money for education, health, etc. It is eating into the pockets of the people, and obviously that means people have less money to invest in things that they should invest in. So it's a biggest challenge that the country has. It's gone on for 10 years, and the tragedy is for 10 years we have not been able to solve the problem. And I don't blame just ourselves. The fact is that even the donors, for example, AUSAID, DFID, World Bank, all these guys are involved, and they have not been able to figure out what the problem is. And I can tell you the problem right now. The problem is you can't drive a modern energy system with a 19th century management. That's what we're trying to do.
And that management is clustered in bureaucracies in Islamabad, you're saying?
That is the bureaucracy, the same bureaucracy, colonial bureaucracy that we inherited from the British. That bureaucracy has not been reformed or changed over the last 70 years of our independence. And at the same time, we are not trying to professionalize management in these systems. So you've got a generalist bureaucracy that was meant for colonial order, that is trying to run the system, and the professional management systems, even if they crop up, they're sitting at the bottom somewhere. They can't seem to find the freedom to run the system. And at the same time, you have the political imperative to push people into the system. So they're putting in political appointees into the system, which is creating more and more financial losses as well as inefficiencies in the system. So the question is, somewhere along the line, someone has to turn around and say, look, guys, we need to professionalize the system, decentralize the system, manage it in modern lines. We need to get rid of the colonial bureaucracy, managing a modern system like an electricity system, which is too technical for some district magistrate or a commissioner or something running it from somewhere else.
Absolutely. Look, thank you very, very much for taking the time to talk to us. Is there anything else that you'd like to add or underline in what we've discussed there?
I think it's just sad. It's just sad. And I think, quite frankly, we should all come together and understand that this is a major problem, and problems like this need resolution. It's not just throwing money at it. The way that these aid agencies have dealt with it is throw money at the problem, build more supply. I don't think it's a question of building more supply. Yeah, you always need more supply. Nobody's saying you don't need more. But we need domestic reform to manage whatever we have well. You can't keep increasing supply and not manage what you have well, because you'll continually hemorrhage, and hemorrhaging with increasing supply is not going to do anything, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if a body is hemorrhaging and you keep feeding it, hey, it'll get better. No, it won't get better. You've got to stop the hemorrhage, right? So we have to stop the hemorrhaging, and we have to introduce modern management system. It's not a question of throwing in more money. And I think the fault of the donors and everybody has been, I hope AUSAID is listening, that look, for God's sakes, manage these better. Otherwise, we will have chaos in Pakistan. And if you have chaos in Pakistan, I don't think the world will like it.
Very ominous. But look, thank you so much.
There is reason to be ominous. Thank you.
Yes. Look, thank you very, very much for your time. And I really appreciate.
Soch Bachar ke saath, mera naam Nadeem Ul Haq hai.
Aur mera naam Anjum Altaf hai.